Thank you. I think they liked it. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning here, and excited to be here. If that doesn't stir your soul, then I don't know what else can. But we'll give it a try. And with gathering around God's Word as well, we're going to continue our series called It's Personal. And we're going to hear this morning from Christine Bomhoff, a testimony of how a verse has impacted her life. Before we do that, let's just take a moment for prayer. On your way over here, you probably stared at the sun and thought, wow, I could never do that otherwise. But because of the smoke in the air, and I suppose we feel relatively safe here, but there are places fairly nearby that are threatened. Vandermeulen's just mentioned to us, Greg and Nick are at Esperanza and on the island, on the northwest coast of the island, and they're in Zabelas. People have been evacuated, and then near Esperanza, the nearest town is Tassis, and there's a fire up in Tassis as well. And so with all these fires going on, it just makes us realize we are dependent on God and his safekeeping. So let's pray for that. God, thank you that we can come together and praise you, give glory to you because you are a great God. And we want to grab a hold of that today. We want to hold it close to us, treasure it, and learn more of what it means to live in your greatness, and to surrender ourselves to you. Thank you for your love and your grace that you pour over our lives. We are so dependent on you. And so even today, surrounded by wildfires, God, we pray for people who are directly affected by it, that you will keep them safe, that you will watch over these people. In some cases where they watch all of their possessions being consumed by fire, God, we pray that you will pour out your grace and that you will provide safety also for those fighting the fires. And think of G.J. Skaven too, who's helping out this summer, and pray for his safety. And God, in the midst of that, help us to acknowledge you, to know your presence, and to remind us of how much we depend on you. You have this whole world in your hands. We trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Christine, why don't you come on up? Good for you.
Think so. Can everybody hear me? Okay, good morning. Is it on?
Check. Use this one.
Okay, that sounds better. So yesterday morning, Nathan texted me to say, have you remembered and are you ready to go? And I said to him, yep, it's all in my head and I'll put it down on paper later on today. To which he replied, you sound like a very good preacher. You think about it all week in your head and then you write it down at night. So yesterday afternoon, I texted him back again at about 4 o'clock. And I said, I'm done. And he said, I'm not quite done yet. So I said, I'm going to razz you about that. And then he replied, you better watch it, because I have the last word, which is true. So good morning. As I already mentioned, my name is Christine Baumhoff. It is actually 30 years ago, almost to the day, that we first attended New Life here as a young couple. We joined New Life with a six-month-old baby and blossomed from there to five kids. We have four daughters and one son who have all grown up attending New Life. Two of our kids, Eric and Renee, still currently attend here with their spouses, Cyrus and Sarah. When Nathan asked those of us on the Board of Elders to consider sharing their life verse and a brief testimony, I initially wanted to ignore the email and just let someone else step up. But just a few weeks ago, two of our kids gave their testimonies and professed their faith here at New Life. So I thought it was time that I listened to that still small voice prodding me to say yes and share some of my faith story. It actually has been really good to take time to reflect on how your faith changes and grows through the seasons of life. I've been a Christian for most of my life. I cannot point to a specific conversion experience, but more a gradual awareness of God and the need for a Savior. I grew up in a Christian home, and as a family, we were always involved in our church. Family devotions after dinner and prayer before bed were a part of my life. My parents modeled care for their community through being a part of prison ministry, local politics, reaching out to neighbors, and my mom would never let a Jehovah's Witness leave the front door without having a conversation and professing to them that Jesus was her Savior. I attended Christian school, Sunday school, and youth, and all of this had an impact on me. And in a gradual way, God became real to me. At 18, I publicly professed my faith at our church. That's over 35 years ago, and life carries on. Marriage, raising a family, work, and woven through it comes the joys, sorrows, laughter, losses, and disappointments that life brings our way. Through all of this, God has been there. He never changes. It's only me who moves in and out of closeness to Him as I journey through my life. I've had various verses and passages speak to me at different times of my life. But the past few years, this verse has often come to mind. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Over the past year, this verse has been close to my heart as I've dealt with change. I decided to quit my job and wondered what was in store for me. I thought about this passage quite a lot. There were job opportunities that came up, and either did not pan out or were not quite right for my life. And as it turns out, God knew. Over the course of the past 15 months, we experienced some significant family events, from two daughters having kids, one of them twins, to weddings, other family members with health and relationship challenges, and my mom moving. Some of it we anticipated, and some we did not. So I've been free to just be available, which is something I will never regret. It was all in the timing. When I look ahead, I sometimes want to jump in and make things happen. But looking back now, I see how God knew. I just needed to trust in Him at times of uncertainty. Life has settled down in some ways, and as God's timing would have it, I've also been offered a new job that I'm looking forward to beginning in the fall. I'm still not always good at trusting or acknowledging, and I like to rely on my own understanding. But this passage really is more than a guide for me. It's a promise that regardless of how I live out, God is reminding me through it that He is always there. I just have to come to Him. He loves me and graciously receives me with open arms every time.
Thanks. Marvelous. So good to hear how a verse impacts. Thanks, Christine, especially, and we'll return to this, that the passage isn't just an instruction, but it's also a promise from God. I love that. To see this passage as a promise. It's a powerhouse passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Perhaps you know it. I know when we decided to do this series, I thought, oh, great, I'll just solicit different passages, never thinking that people would have the same life verse. And the first two people that came to me were Christine and Hank Hock, And they both came to me with this verse. I was like, oh, I got to preach the passage twice. But fortunately, Hank Hock also had a different verse to focus on, and so we changed it up there. But this is an amazing passage, just a powerhouse passage, the center of which is trust. And so we want to spend some time reflecting on that. But then there's three other elements that I want us to focus on as well. And that is to lean and to know and this business of making straight, of making everything level. Trust, lean, know, and make straight. So let's take a look at this. Let me just read this verse, these verses one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Trusting. Perhaps it's intuitive. Perhaps you already know it. But trusting is a priority in living to follow Jesus. Trusting is a priority in the same way that loving God is a priority. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We could say the same thing about trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it takes all of those things. It takes soul to be able to trust in the Lord. Because you need to know yourself. You need to know the emptiness of life on your own in order to be able to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It takes mindfulness, because it's not a natural inclination. Or rather, the natural inclination seems to be that, I'm just going to get rid of this thing here a minute. The natural inclination seems to be that we would, yes, trust, but only trust in ourselves, in ourself only. And it takes strength, inner strength, because inasmuch as you decide to trust, inasmuch as you say, yep, that's what I'm going to do, it takes practiced power to trust in another person, in someone else, to hand over your life to someone. Trusting is a priority, because that's exactly what links you to God. Trusting is. Christine talks about just that her relationship with God took many years, right? It was that slow development. That's a relationship that's built on trust. It's what links us with God. You can believe God. You can believe that there is a God. You can say you know about God. You could even say you love the idea of God. But unless you trust him, unless you hand over your life to him as the source of your being, you won't be connected to him. Trusting is a priority. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is a priority, because there's always the temptation to trust with all of your own action, with all of your own control. Christine admitted that. There are those temptations to say, no, I want to take control. No, I'm sure I know how this has to go. And then when you surrender that, you find out, usually later on, God knew what he was doing. Trust with all your heart. In Hebrew psychology, the reference to a heart isn't so much anything to do with feeling as it would be in North American culture. So when we talk about something by heart or something in the heart, we're thinking of feeling. I just feel it in my heart, we say. But in Hebrew psychology, the heart, a reference to the heart, had more to do with your will the human will, the your decision, your mindfulness to say, I'm going to do this. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart is a simple act of will. Nothing less, of course, because that is a big deal, to hand over your life to someone else. But nothing more either. Nothing more than an act of will. Often we want to make trusting something that we can demonstrate, to prove, perhaps even just to ourselves, but certainly to prove to others that we really are trusting. And so we try to take things into our own hands to impress others, or even just to impress ourselves and say, wow, I must be good. Trusting in the Lord is a simple act of will. And when we try to do more, when we make trusting our action rather than our decision, then we end up taking control rather than surrendering. And then the passage goes on, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, which is essentially reiterating the fact that you need to trust in the Lord. But it's not mere repetition. The emphasis in that second part is on the do not. Do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, you will at some point, it's the warning, you will, no matter how big your will is to trust in the Lord with all your heart, you will at some point be tempted to rely on your own understanding. And the proverb insists, don't do it. Don't do it. But it's going to be our natural inclination. It makes me think of, when you go, I don't even know if these things are legal anymore. Merry-go-rounds, are they legal on playgrounds? I never see them. But anyways, when I was young, we went on a merry-go-round, and then, you'd step off, and your natural inclination, right, is to like that, right? You need something to lean on. If you depend on your natural inclination, you will fall. Don't do it. You need something else to lean on. In other words, trust in the Lord with all your heart, because you cannot figure out all of life's nooks and crannies, all of the pathways of life. You won't be able to figure it all out. All kinds of things happen in Christine's life that she didn't expect, that she didn't count on, that she couldn't figure out. And unless you have something else to lean on, it is going to be pure misery. There's a lot we don't know. It's a lot we don't understand. It's one of the cool things about science nowadays. 100 years ago, scientists had this expectation that, well, we probably know 80% of everything there is to know, and so just give us a few more years and we'll figure out the universe. The thing now is that scientists are finding out stuff about the universe that makes us realize that we simply know a mere fraction of everything that there is. It's making us feel smaller, perhaps, but it's also making us realize how dependent we are on God. Perhaps in another 100 years, scientists will be the greatest evangelists to say, you need to depend on God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Instead, here's some of the things that you need to lean on. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching. The Hebrew word there is law. Do not forget my laws. Do not forget my Torah. In other words, it's a reference to the Holy Scripture, the Hebrew Scriptures. For us, it's lean on Scripture. As you live out your life, And all of these inexplicable things happen to you that you think, I didn't count on this. You need something to lean on. Lean on Scripture. Or verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. To live wisely is not about how smart you are. It's not about how savvy you are. It's not about how swift you are. To live wisely, you have to live with love and faithfulness. Those are the virtues you need to lean on in order to live well. And then later on, a verse right after our passage, verse 7 says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Another, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Rely on the resources of God, not on your own resources. In fact, the resources that you do have, Proverbs 3:7 says, honor God with it. And that's the beginning of the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge God. And that's not just a matter of, you know, kind of nodding your head in God's direction. Yep, thanks God, know you're there. All right, see you later. Yep, I'm carrying on. To acknowledge God in all your ways is not merely noticing God. In the context of trusting God with all your heart, it means surrender. So in the NIV, it actually says, in all your ways, submit to Him. In the context of trusting in the Lord, surrender everything to God. In the context of God leading your life, it means listening, constantly being aware of God's presence, listening to God's command. In the chaos that life sometimes stirs up, listen to God. Listen for His voice of direction. In the context of uncertainty and confusion, you have to look out for God, who can lead you out of the darkness into the light. In other words, know God. Not just notice Him, but know Him. In the intricacies of life, in the unexpected things of life, know God so that when you're in the middle of a mess, you already have that relationship in which you can depend on God to say, God, I've already learned to trust You with all my heart, and I'll surrender this as well. It's a challenge. It's easy to speak about, but that's tough stuff. You've got to get to know God. Again, a little Hebrew piece there. In terms of in all your ways, that word ways are the many paths of life. In some sense, I mean, you know, when we sit here in church on Sunday, it's easy to get the big picture and understand that, oh yes, of course, I'm following God and God is the way of love, and so those are the big picture ideas, I get it. That's how I'm going to live my life. But then on Monday, in the midst of family life, or in the midst of work routines, or in the midst of personal desires and ambitions, it gets a little bit more difficult to discern. What exactly is God's way? In all your ways, in all of the many paths of life, know God. Know Him constantly. Don't give up on it. Don't say, oh yeah. I know God. I knew about Him a long time ago. I'll just carry on. No, every day, engage with God. Because in the surprises of life, that's when you're going to need to know God in those many pathways. Do you see God there? Do you know him there? Do you surrender to him there? Or conversely, sometimes we get so bound up by wondering what God's will is, we freeze, we are paralyzed, we wonder, what could I possibly do that follows the will of God? And then this instruction, in all your ways acknowledge him, provides us that assurance, that kind of promise, that if you are already looking to God, if you are already seeking to know him in every situation, then no matter what you do, you will not be far off the track. It's God's promise to you. That's God's assurance to you. Seek him. And then whatever action you take, it's not going to be far off. And you can live in that kind of confidence, that kind of boldness that Andrea was talking about earlier when she was leading us in worship. That kind of reliance, trust in God's grace makes you live confidently. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Making straight is about removing obstacles. It's about clearing the way. Perhaps the most well-known verse is Isaiah 40, verse 3, where it talks about making a straight path for the coming of God. God's coming needs to be prepared by making a straight path, removing all of the obstacles in your way to receive God into your life. And every one of the gospel writers makes reference to that verse in terms of applying it to John the Baptist, who was called as the prophet to prepare the way, to level the ground so that the Messiah can come through and reveal himself to us. Here in Proverbs 3, it's the exact opposite. It's that God prepares a way for our life. It's that God removes all of the obstacles of our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and God will remove all of the obstacles. He'll make your path straight. Life looks awfully crooked at times. But when you're able to entrust your life over to God, he levels it out. This is a saying that's not just about making life easy. In fact, it has nothing to do with making life easy. Life is still hard. It's still complicated. It's still confusing. But this is about a promise that God makes to say, your life will flourish when you trust in me. Again, that's easy to say. That is so difficult to live. And yet it's God's promise that life will have its fulfillment as you follow Jesus. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to the way and the truth and the life. Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. John 10, verse 10. Success comes then through Jesus Christ, the only Savior who can clear the way for you to really live. It means letting God direct your life, as Christine testified. To surrender your life to him, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Trust is the priority. Henry Nouwen was a well-known Christian writer, priest, amazing Christian. And Henry Nouwen writes about a time in which he was watching a trapeze show, and he got to wondering, how is that possible that two people can fly in the air and catch each other? What's the secret? And so he had an opportunity to talk to a trapeze artist, and he asked him exactly that question. What is the secret to the success of such a high flyer being caught up in high up in the air? And the answer that he received was this. The secret is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. And in fact, the worst thing that the flyer can do is to try to catch the catcher. In other words, don't try to grab onto God. Don't try to take control. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Christine's testimony speaks about the simplicity of that and the difficulty of that kind of surrender, a simple act of will. And yet, in the many pathways of life, it sometimes is so difficult. It takes courage. John Ortberg, who is a much better preacher than I and much bolder, wanted to illustrate that sense of trust. And so he, in fact, took a trapeze lesson. And I want you to hear how he reflected on that. And so here's a short video clip that tells about his experience as he relates it to Proverbs 3.
Now, it's a funny thing. When I stand down on the ground, on the safety of the floor, and watch other people on the trapeze, it looks easy, beautiful, graceful. When someone tells me that the trapeze is a perfectly safe place for me to be and I'm down on the ground, I believe them. But when it's time for me to climb that ladder, when it's time for me to step out on the platform, some things go on in my mind. My mind gets a little crazy. My mind generates 1,000 reasons why I should not climb up, why I should not let go. See, I say I believe, I can even think I believe, but when push comes to shove, in the moment of crisis, my heart starts pounding, so apparently my heart doesn't believe. My armpits and my hands start sweating, so apparently my armpits and my hands don't believe, and you don't really want sweaty hands when it's time to get caught. When I'm on the platform and the trapeze comes toward me, my catcher tells me I must lean out. He tells me not to worry, that he's got me. I don't want to lean out. Leaning out sounds like a stupid idea. I want to lean back. I want to lean on my own understanding. I want to lean on my own 2 feet. I don't want to trust. And then he tells me to take the leap of faith. And suddenly I'm flying through the air. And I'm exhilarated, and I'm scared, and I'm excited, and I'm uncertain, and I am so alive. And my catcher is giving me directions, and I'm listening for his voice above everything else. Arch your back. Point your toes. My toes don't want to point. And then swing your feet up. Put them over the bar while you're swinging, but keep your arms very straight. And my job in all this is to listen and to wait and to trust and to do what he tells me to do when he tells me to do it. See, letting go and getting caught turns out to be way more complicated. It involves far more learning and more practice than I thought. And I have a long ways to go. I'm just a baby at this stuff, but that's okay, because my catcher's not in a hurry. And then comes the moment. Hanging in the air from the bar by my legs, I surrender my heart, I stretch out my hands, I look for my catcher, and he tells me to let go of the bar. I don't want to let go of the bar. See, the bar, the trapeze, stands for my life. My old, ego-driven, willful, stubborn, self-centered, self-possessed, self-promoting life. And I'm afraid if I let it go, I will die. And of course, I will die. I will die to that old, hidden, dark, self-centered, messed up, greedy, selfish life, so that I can be given a new life. So I let go, and these big, strong hands come out of nowhere to grab a hold of mine. And his palms are not sweaty, and his arms are not too short, and his grip is not weak, and I am caught. And I gotta tell you, I did not know, I had no idea how good it would feel to get caught. Getting caught is just the best. And that's how it works in the school of letting go. Fear, you know, stubbornness, decision, surrender, getting caught.
Getting caught is just the best. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want to give you a chance to make that decision, or perhaps to renew that act of will to say, yes, I want to get caught, and I will entrust my life into the hands of the Father, those strong hands. Don't try to catch the catcher. Just listen. Wait for the instructions and hold out your hands. I want to give you that chance to turn your life to God. Maybe again. Maybe again for the first time. To say, yes, I am going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Would you stand? Stretch your hands out. Just like John Ortberg had to stretch out his hands. Spread your thumbs so that the catcher has lots to grab a hold of. And when Jesus surrendered himself on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Say the same thing. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Today, Lord Jesus, we trust you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Catch us, hold us close to you, and make us free. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with one more song, and afterwards, I want to give you an opportunity as well to just spend some time in prayer. And so I invite you afterwards, perhaps, or maybe even just stay in your seat and just reflect on that and say, God, I am holding out my hands, but it's so hard to keep them outstretched. It's so hard to fall into the hands of God. And so I want to offer you that opportunity to pray. And so invite any of the pastors to come forward and prayer partners to just stand here. And we could just say a short prayer with you, just to encourage you to say, keep those hands outstretched and let God catch you. Amen.
So we had a different song planned for the end. I'm going to go back to Solid Rock from the beginning, because I think that just really fits in well to what Nathan was preaching on and just holding firm.